Next up is a former wrestling superstar with a product that changed his life.
Former pro wrestler Diamond Dallas Page has just the thing for you. But be warned, DDP yoga, quote, ain't your mama's yoga.
DDP yoga was designed to help everyone.
DDP's list of clients include former wrestlers such as Chris Jericho and Edge.
I've been doing it for over 2 years and I can't live without it.
And it don't matter what your age or your fitness level or
baby,
what kind of shape you're in.
Show.
It builds strength and flexibility and it's good for your heart.
Diamond Dallas Page is one of the rare wrestlers that has had a post-career career. You are saving lives. The two most famous ones, Jake the Snake Roberts.
One person sticks a hand out, and that person for me was Diamond Dallas Page.
And Scott Hall.
In my lifetime, I've learned hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
It's DDP.
Rio.
High five. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another hour of DDP Radio. I am Diamond Dallas Page, and I'm so happy so many of you come on tonight to actually get on the show or actually be listening to it in the old podcast. And please fasten your safety belts. What's that, Robert? Is that like the end of it? Is that how it normally ends with the... Fasten your safety belts? Robert? Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Stacy, are you there? Hello, Stacy. Mikey, I know I hear you.
I'm here. D. It usually doesn't end that way.
Okay, so I know
here.
You guys... Okay, I don't know what the hell happened at the end of it, but then again... This is Blog Talk Radio, so you learn to roll with the punches, whatever happens. They had a special show here tonight, and they're going to have on the one and only Arthur Borman's going to be joining us later, and she's going to be joining Robert and Stacy and Michael. I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. One is I will be at Hammer Energy Fitness. I'm going to be there with Matt Hancock this Saturday, and I'm really excited to get there and take everybody through the whole workshop. It's going to be a great time, and I know Matt's pumped up, and we got some of our certified trainers coming in to help with it because we have a really awesome crowd and going to try to give as much individual attention to everyone. So really excited about that, and that is this Saturday. I think it's sold out. You can try on ddpyoga.com and see if there's any more spots left, but I don't think so. But if you're in that Midwest area, I'll also be on September 27th at Funk Fitness with the Funkasaurus himself, Craig Funk. So if you want to come out to Brighton, just about, I guess about 40 minutes outside of Detroit, you can catch me there. Go to ddpyoga.com and check out appearances. Like I said, we've got Arthur going to come up here, and Stacy's got a bunch of questions from you guys. And Robert, are you hearing me okay here? I'm hearing a lot of wind. Stacy, are you hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you fine.
Okay, I don't know where Robert went. Okay, not a big deal. Let me tell you what happened today. I work with a couple people online who I really see that are really working hard. And there's a couple groups of guys and a group of ladies that pretty much put all their food together every day, and they make up these journals of what they're eating. And it really helps each other to be accountable. And I would encourage anybody out there, you know, sometimes there's a couple of people that are doing this together, you know, start to make a journal. I've been using this as a figure-it-out-as-I-go type of thing, how I put different people together and let them be accountable to each other. And it really works to a certain degree. And Mike was just talking about, because he does it too, and how hard it is to eat out on the road. And he would be right. It absolutely is. But really, it just gets less convenient. It's not that hard anymore if you're trying to be gluten-free or dairy-free because they have a couple of choices. But it makes it boring. So that's where it gets hard. And that's the honesty of that. I'm going to bring on September here, who a lot of you know from Team DDP Yoga. September, are you there, Ben?
I'm right here.
Cool. Okay, so give a little bit of talk of what just happened to you in the last, I guess, month or so since you injured yourself and your eating plan. Explain to everybody where you are right now.
Okay. I've been doing DDP yoga since June of 2013. I've lost 38 pounds and 37 inches, but I have about 80 to 90 pounds to go. And I've done my homework. I'm gluten-free. I'm dairy-free. I actually went plant-based after talking to my doctor back at the end of June, and I'm plant-based, gluten-free, and dairy-free. And you want challenges eating out. Dude, bring it. It's awesome. But at the same time, I'm over 50 also, which I hear plays a part in this whole weight loss thing.
Oh, let me ask you something here. When you say plant-based, I'm looking at your journal, and when you say plant-based, is gluten-free pancakes in that plant-based?
you know, once a week, my husband makes breakfast, and it was always pancakes and bacon, or eggs and bacon. So I'm like, I got to figure out one meal that I can eat with my family that I can work with and try to figure out and make work for what I'm doing.
Okay, so let me
ask
you.
I gave up the bacon. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Go ahead. So you gave up the bacon. I'm not saying what I'm looking at on how you're eating, because I can see it all in front of me. And it's why I didn't want to just try to email it back to you, because it just takes too long to write. Plus, I want other people to hear, you know, what you're going through, because you're eating amazingly for someone who's trying to, from what I see, maintain. Because when your body, you still have 80 pounds to go, and how old are you now? Because the age has so much to do with this, especially when you're dealing with your hormones. So where are you right? How old are you now, September?
I'll be 54 next month.
Okay. And for anybody out there knows, it changes. It changes when you're 20 to 30. It changes a lot. It changes a lot more to go to 40, and it really changes at 50 and 60, because it turns into a whole other game plan. So what I was looking at, you know, the sugar intake that you're taking in, even though a lot of it's good sugars, a lot of it, like, and I know this is only sporadic, I'm just picking on something that popped in my mouth. I saw the soy milk cookie dough ice cream. You know, that's not really part of a diet on any level. And for what you really want to do, and maybe just shake up and just shake your body up. Like, sometimes you've got to confuse it, you know, because it gets so used to certain things. Like, I'll give you an example. I got four people in my house right now, actually three of them, and they've all lost a lot of weight, just like you, but they've all hit that sticking point. So now they're, you know, to shake their body up, they're doing juicing for the first two meals, and for the third meal, they're having, you know, big salads or whatever kind of greens or whatever they want to do, and some sort of protein. And this is a diet. You know, I never really use the words diet unless we're trying to shake the body up. So what I'd like to see, September, because you only care about results, and that's really what you want. And you work so hard, and that's why you have my attention, because I noticed over a long period of time, you're working really hard. And I helped put you together with a big group of females. Let me ask you a question on that. How is that part working for you, the camaraderie? Because I want other people to try to share this.
It's an interesting dynamic. You are more accountable when you do share your food with other people. And even when you asked me for 5 days, I started looking at those 5 days, and I was like, oh, this is not my best 5 days. But it is what it is. I'm sending it. You know, I mean, I was pretty much living on salads and greens, and I looked at the protein level, and the protein level wasn't high enough if I wasn't going to eat meat. So I've had to add more. And calorie-wise, I don't actually know if I'm getting enough calories.
Yeah, I've heard that. You know, and I think everybody's different. And again, you got to keep shaking up. You know, I'm just trying different stuff. But I said 5 days. I just want to see. So I had them all right there because I hate when someone hits that sticking point. But, you know, what do you say? You say something, Steve?
That's what I had to do. I'm not saying everyone needs to go sugar-free like I did, but I'm 50 this year, and I had to start making a few changes in terms of my carb intake and my sugar intake. And I did, and it made a big difference.
And again, it's just to shake the body up. It does. When you get to where you want to get to, and we still have a long journey on that, you know, and I consider it us because you're part of the team, and you're a significant part of the team. You're an awesome team member. I watch you help everybody out. You're on Facebook. You put the work in. You know, so that those people, you know, I really want to see hit their goal. And I thought, like, if I was just to email this back in, it wouldn't be as effective. You know, and if I just talked to you, then nobody else would hear because there's a lot of people like, you know, Stacey, and that's why Stacey came up with her book about it's pretty much around all that. Tell me about that again, Stacey.
It's all recipes that I've invented or Bill helped me invent based on the way you suggest that I eat, which is gluten and dairy free. And later in my DVP yoga career, I went sugar free. So they're recipes that you can modify any way you like. If you eat sugar, you can add it into the recipes. If you'd like to leave it out, I show you how to do it.
Hey, Dallas.
So, yes.
Oh, I was going to ask. I think what you mentioned about, eating to maintain and not eating to lose, I think that's exactly where I'm at. I'm starting to realize that things I did when I first started doing this are no longer working towards what I want to get to. Now, as you mentioned, I'm on the road a lot. Do you suggest any of those prepackaged organic juicing that you can get at, like, Trader Joe's or, like, Whole Foods?
Not the naked ones.
No.
And the naked ones, from what I see, aren't really all that good at all, just for what the information I've got. I don't have it right in front of me, so I can't, like, you know, verbally say what they say about that. The ones that are cold press, if they have the date on them and it's under 3 days, the cold press lasts 72 hours. So they're significantly more expensive because they're real. And the cold press juice places are popping up left and right. I wanted to do it 20 years ago with my brother, well, 15 years ago, and I didn't do it. I just focused on this, but I always really believe that that's going to be a humongous business. You know, so I do, if they're cold-pressed juices and they have the date on them that's under 72 hours, I think you're pretty good with that. And then it just starts to delineate, that it's all about the air. That breaks down the enzymes and the vitamins. But back to you, September. Does that make sense?
It sounds good, except I'm wondering how many grams of sugar should I be aiming toward a day? Because I don't get a lot of added sugar other than the days when I've had, you know, that. I'm at like 68, 75, 80 grams of sugar.
You know,
from my
from
food.
What, you know, I think that, the daily recommended, whatever the hell it is, it's supposed to be like 27. And I know that's insane because most of us get that with a couple of cookies. But, you know, again, I'm just trying to shake your system up. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. And I know you went to all plant-based, and I was looking for that. And over that period, when you were just doing plant-based, you still didn't lose any weight.
Nope.
We need to get you to your thyroid diet. Have you been to an endocrinologist?
I have, and I'm fine.
What does they say?
Totally normal.
Oh, that puzzles me.
Yeah.
Now, you haven't been able to work out over these last couple of weeks, right?
Right. But I still should have lost, because I should have lost something. Muscle weight, even.
Did you gain any weight?
Not a pound. Not even a pound.
Well, that's positive.
So maybe I'll start losing again.
On the juice thing,
Jamba Juice, I don't know if that's nationwide, but they have started actually making juice with fruit and vegetables right there now.
Well, that's good. That's good. But September, I just have a quick question. What is, you know, in terms of your white carbs, you know, like rice, how much of that are you eating every day?
I have 1 cup of brown rice, and it's usually either breakfast or lunch.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it. Oh, and a third cup, no, it's or, a third cup of quick oats or oats, rolled oats, not quick oats, rolled oats.
Okay. Well, and just in terms, I'm not suggesting this as, you know, a lifelong thing, but if you're willing to go a few days without carbs and just see how your body reacts as a shakeup, you know, that might, just see if it does anything. And just make sure you get lots of juices and veggies in so you stay hydrated and, you know, and lots of good fiber.
Yeah, I'm running that. Okay. 50 grams of fiber a day.
Oh, well, that's great.
She really has it broken. She really has it broken down, Stacey. But I, like I say, to me, looking at what she's eating, which is a good balanced diet, you know. But to me, it's not to lose weight. You know, if you're exercising with this right here, it should be. But if you're not, then it's like it's almost a really healthy maintenance. You know, especially if you have trouble with food, because everybody's metabolism is so different, you know, and I know you're working so hard, so I really wanted to, you know, see you continue to get results, because that's how you stay motivated, as we all know. You know, we all have to get results in what we're reaching out to. What do you say we just, you know, it's like taking your body into ketosis when you don't eat carbs. Now, you know, it'll wear at you, too, so I don't know if you really want to do that September.
Well, I could try for, you know, 5 or 6 days and see what happens.
Yeah, limited time, see what happens. That's I think that's a good idea. And let us know.
Let's come back next week and address it all over again. How does that sound?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for coming on here, because she's like, you're not going to yell at me. I'm like, God, no.
Oh,
I know what you're going through is obviously everybody who listens to this show knows that I actually give a shit. You know, you got the program a year plus ago. I give a shit. I want you to get the greatest results ever. You know, so
I knew
you
cared when we talked on the phone the first time, and I was just like, you're what?
Well, again, you were working and you've worked really hard, so I want to keep you going. So let's come back in on Wednesday. Just continue, you know, keep sending that food thing, the journal out there, and let's see where it goes, and you know, see if we can shake your body up a little bit. Plus, you'll be working out this week. How's that Achilles feeling?
It did great last night. I've got to wait until I go back to the chiropractor. Tomorrow I go and work out again. So,
all right, buddy. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And I want to turn this over to my girl Stacy and Mikey here, because I know they got Arthur in the wings, and we got a bunch of questions for him. And I really love it when Arthur Borman comes on, because he is one of the generals of this whole workout. And Arthur, make sure I don't ever hear you calling it yoga. I'll have to come through the phone on you. Okay,
right.
Guys. I'll see you next
bye,
week.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Bye. Thanks for calling September.
All right. Are we good?
Yeah.
I think we are.
We're ready to start.
All right. As you guys know, as Dallas has put let you know, we have the ultimate DDP Yoga warrior on tonight. This is the man who started it all, who took over the internet, took over YouTube, took over Shark Tank, and pretty much every other regional and national station that there is. You know him as Arthur Borman. Arthur, hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, busy lately. I'm getting ready to go back to school, which means I'm getting... Summer break is really short this year because of all the winter, but getting ready to go back. And I was just looking. I got a bunch of people wrote me some questions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know people are calling in with questions, too, but there was a lady named Kate, and I'm just going to go straight across the list here because I pulled them all up so I could look at them. And she was talking about, how do you speak to days even now when you just get up and makes it a diamond cutter day versus just falling into bed or falling into bad eating or not exercising? What quote or motivation makes most difference? I'll be honest, it's not really a quote. She asked if it's an image. It is an image. And it's a really cheap trick, but it works. I took some pictures from when I was really heavy and bad, and I stuck them around my house some places where I can see them. It's like I took some clear contact paper, you know, the kind you put on your shelves, mm-hmm. and I just laminated to my refrigerator, to my shelf, you know, where I keep my food, with the simple slogan, is it worth it? Is it worth eating that food? Do I want that food so much that I'm willing to, you know, to jeopardize my health for it, to look like that again? And the other side of it is, you know, my family. I see my kids. I see my wife every day. And the reality is, if I don't take care of myself, I won't be around for them. And that keeps me motivated.
Reality is the ultimate motivator, I've always said.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that's a good answer for Kate. And I'm going to jump. Sean Bowen, if I'm saying your name right, he asks, when I first started the diet, what was the hardest to give up, and did I ever have any cheat meals? No, I did not. I did not have any cheat meals. And one of the hardest things to give up, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, were bread products.
Oh, yeah.
Gluten, I found out later on, I didn't know this at first until I was past it, but gluten's addictive. So guess what, you know. But glutens and pastas and such like that, I had to learn to eat around those things. I found some gluten-free pastas, but I never really found a good gluten-free bread. So I just had to kind of eliminate that because a lot of times a lot of the gluten-free breads are very sugary. Even though you can't taste it, they're very heavy calories. And that, I think it's called a glycemic index. I'm not the expert, but I think that's what it's called, is really high on that. So I just really had to cut out a lot of that kind of food. So that was the hard thing for me. But, again, cheat meals. For me, cheating on my eating plan, cheating on following the eating plan, was basically the equivalent of cheating on my family. And I wasn't going to do that. So, again, I had that family motivation, and that really kept me honest. So I hope that answers Sean's question.
I just wanted to bring something up to you that you mentioned, Arthur. You talked about gluten being addictive. People don't realize how – when I tell people give it 2 weeks to get off the gluten, just give it 2 weeks to see how differently you feel. And one of the things that I noticed that I feel most when I gave up gluten – was the cravings stopped. The cravings for more carb-heavy, gluten-heavy foods end up almost completely stopping. And if I have a moment where I fall off the wagon and have something, I notice those cravings come right back up. I don't think the gluten addictiveness is you know, popularized as much as we talk about.
I think you're right. I mean, even with food, you know, being addicted to food is a harder thing to deal with because you can simply stop drinking. You can stop taking a drug, but you can't stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you can simply go cold turkey on food. I'm never going to eat again. So, you know, you have to relearn. You have to rethink that relationship. You know, an alcoholic never says, I'm going to have to learn to drink responsibly. He just cuts it out. A person who's with an eating problem has to rethink that relationship, and that's really a complex task.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, there was Amberly, and she asked if there were ever times when I sort of plateaued out, when I didn't see progress in weight gains and strength and flexibility and anything like that. What did I do to keep myself motivated? there were times. There are still times. I mean, we all have those. But I had one big advantage. I was feeling so much better than I felt before that I was willing to be patient with myself just because I knew from how much better I felt that the program was working. I had to learn to become patient with myself. And that's really hard. But again, I had proof every time I stood up, every time I looked in the mirror, every time I woke up in the morning, I could feel that I was making progress. I could feel that I was better. Even if I had a week or longer when I wasn't making any numerical progress, when I wasn't getting stronger in this pose or that pose, I felt so much better that kept me motivated. They also asked if this was the first time that I ever tried to improve my health. Oh, no. It was not. I tried and failed a bunch of things. And I'll be honest, I tried and failed so many times that I just about given up. So
I don't think moving forward would have been a problem. I don't think anybody could have paid you to go back to where you were.
Yeah. So, that was kind of Amberly's question. And I think, that was the last question I think anybody had for me. Oh, wait.
Hey, I sent you one about an injury.
Yeah.
You get an injury? Yeah.
Now, from Trish? I can relate to what she wrote. I'm just going to read what she wrote. She said, I too am a vet and have knee brace on both legs and walk with two canes or a walker. How long should you be doing the program before taking the braces off while doing yoga? You have a feeling you're going to get in the way of certain moves. Okay, that's kind of, what I see is not a numerical answer. What got me thinking in the first place that I could get away from the equipment at all was one day I was out walking around the hallways of my building with a student, and there was this flight of stairs in the building. And it was in the center of our media center. We actually have a 2-4 library at the high school where I teach. And what happened was, normally I couldn't talk to anybody when I was going up the stairs. And I had to stop halfway up. And it was going up the stairs was really hard for me. Because, again, I was on crutches and it was difficult. But what ended up happening was, I went one day, I was talking with this one young man, and he had finally gotten really excited about a project, and I've been trying for years to get him excited about something. And we were talking about it, and he was so excited, and I didn't notice that I had gotten all the way up the stairs without stopping talking, without stopping in the middle. And that I had gone up the stairs strong, not weak, step, step, thump, but just step, thump all the way up. And that got me to a point where I thought, well, you know what, maybe I can do without. I think if you get to that point, to a point where you can do without the braces, your body will tell you. Hello? Are you guys there?
We're listening, man.
I hope that answered the question.
Yeah. No, but Arthur, you raise a point also. Sometimes, this is a really deceptively effective workout, and I think we all have gotten in various stages of our progress a lot stronger than we realize we are. I found myself suddenly doing things that, my God, I didn't know I was capable of. But I think it's, consistent workout and doing it regularly, like 4 to 5 times a week, it will change your body in ways that is pretty amazing. And that story is just one example.
And that's where I think the proof is in the pudding with this workout, too, is I know, you don't always look in the mirror every day and say, hey, I look smaller today. A lot of times you don't notice it until it's a huge difference looking in the mirror at yourself. But the proof of DDP yoga is being able to do something, get on the mat and do something, complete something that you could do today that you couldn't do yesterday. And that's the visible, like, tangible proof that comes with doing this workout.
Well, more than that, just for some of us, it's just being able to breathe or being able to stand up on your own or being able to walk around without pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so important that when you know, the first time in several years that you can sleep through the whole night without waking up in pain is awesome. The first time you can sleep without having to wear a CPAP all night long is awesome. You know, when you can stand up in front of a classroom full of kids and actually fill the whole lesson without having to stop and catch your breath just from standing and talking, it's amazing. When you can suddenly, you know, I work very hard to retain this. I don't want to become jaded about this, okay? I still want to remember how excited and how joyful it was to simply be able to breathe.
Wow.
You know, there's a very special time in the year for us in Maryland, and it's when right before we set the clocks back, it's daylight around, you know, 4:35 a.m., which is when I normally get up to work out. And one day I was doing that, and I hear the thump of the newspaper getting thrown up to the door. And I went outside, and this is not going to sound like very much to you, but I walked outside of the front door of my house, reached down, picked up the newspaper, and I looked around. It was just this nice, a little cold, a little warm Maryland morning in the spring. And I just thought, oh, my God, it is so good just to be alive.
It's a little thing.
I know, picking up a newspaper, no big deal, but it was everything to me.
It sounds little, but it's not. I mean, you know, I think when you don't have your health and you don't have mobility, that takes a lot of enjoyment out of life. It kind of sidelines you. And to be back in life after being out of it is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to doing things that I used to do a long time ago, things that I gave up because my health went to crap.
Right.
You know, I go to a lot of science fiction conventions. But a long time ago, I went out to Long Island, New York, to see a Doctor Who was there. I still have the tag from it. Because I'll be honest, I thought it was the last one I was ever going to go to. I thought I would never live to go to another event like that. So I had my kids, pushing me around, helping me to get from place to place to place. I still have the tag. I'm actually holding it in my hand, looking at it now because I save all my badges from conventions. But
it's crazy how little things to somebody could be the world to somebody else. It really
Yeah.
is.
You know, I've got friends who sometimes they don't realize how lucky they are. But you know what? That's backwards because I'm the one who is lucky because I know what it's like to lose that and I know what it's like to get it back, and it gives me an appreciation of those little things that I think
I'm sure you have appreciation like no one else does, because you know, someone like me who's you know, been able to walk with pretty much no problem his whole life doesn't realize what it's like to have lost it like that. And for you to have that perspective of where you've been and where you've come from and where you are guaranteed you're never going to take yourself again is a really profound, you know, theory and movement.
Yeah, it's like I said, that keeps me motivated. The fact that I never want to lose what I've got, I never want to go back to where I was, is a very powerful motivator for me.
But we have a caller on the line. Arthur, do you mind taking a couple
sure.
calls for?
Oh, please, yeah.
Robert, we have Dan on the line. Is that correct?
That's right.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Stacy. Hi, hi, Robert. And good evening to Arthur. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, Dan.
Great.
Yeah,
thanks,
man,
for calling.
Yeah, this is my second time calling in, and I knew I wanted to take the chance to chat with Arthur for a couple minutes. And first of all, I know it's been said many times, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. Congratulations, Arthur, on as far you've come so many years and all the stories. And thank you for putting all of your stuff on YouTube and on the site and all the welcomes. I got one when I came last year. I know you do dozens and hundreds of them, but I want to say thank you for that.
I'm glad I was able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little cut and paste thing I try to send to everybody, but that's just to be polite. What I really do is I make a point of answering all the emails and all the messages, especially the messages I get through the team website. So I'm always
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I always try to be here if anybody needs me.
Well, and it was kind of interesting when I found out that you were from the Baltimore area, because when I was growing up, I spent part of my childhood living in Maryland and visiting Baltimore, and some of those places were just. Some of my best memories, the Inner Harbor is always a great place to go and lots of fresh air and all that. But I guess a couple of the questions that I have for you, you mentioned that you keep pictures of yourself around and, you know, is it worth it and all that, and I think that's a great strategy. I'm actually curious, because you mentioned all the equipment, when you were finally free of all of that, did you end up keeping that as another reminder, or did you end up just getting rid of it as a goodbye kind of thing?
Let me ask that two different ways. I still have my CPAP machine. I still have my braces. I still have my crutches. I still have all of that. And I keep it around so that when I'm talking to people, I can show them. Mm-hmm. I mean, a bariatric crutch is a huge and monstrous thing. You know, bariatric equipment, because when you're that heavy, you can't have a regular, how do I put it? I had regular canes collapse under me.
Mm-hmm.
I was that heavy, so they had to get me special stuff. And it's not something I'm proud of. But I kept it, because it reminds me. It reminds me. It's very powerful. It's almost a threat to me.
Mm.
You don't watch it. This is where you'll end up. You rest on your laurels. If you say, yeah, I'm fine, I can skip a day. I can take a week off my eating plan. I'll end up like that again. So it's a powerful reminder to me. It's a tool that I use. I actually keep one pair of my old pants, because I can actually fit my entire body into one leg of my old pants. And I kind of keep it for that purpose, just to remind myself.
I always suggest people keep one pair of pants to show where they've come from. But other than that, I think it's really powerful to be able to throw away all those clothes from when you were bigger, just to kind of say to yourself, I'm not going back here. Because as long as those clothes are in my closet, it's always going to be an option for me to get back into those. So once
That's
you get rid of those,
idea.
That part of your life is done.
That's a good idea. I keep a couple of things. Like I said, I keep one pair of my pants. But the rest of it, I'm not going to say every inch I shrink, I buy new clothes. But I have better clothes now. You know, it's one thing that's really funny is buying T-shirts. I had this huge closet full of you know, various T-shirts. And every now and then I'll pull one out because I like the picture on it or the image on it. And I'll suddenly realize, oh, my God, this thing is too big. But it's just weird that way.
And isn't it nice to be able to buy T-shirts off the rack that are actually in your size when you're at a convention or a concert or something like that? You don't have to worry about, well, am I going to fit into the 2XL or all this stuff?
Actually, the small sizes usually sell out first.
So,
I found that out so many times.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for calling. Did he answer your question okay?
Yeah, he did. And one day I know I'm going to be free of my CPAP as well. So
awesome.
You thank you guys for allowing me to chat. And Arthur, don't be surprised if I email you one of these days. And best of luck as the new school year begins for you, sir.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
We have a couple more callers, but real quick, I kind of want to bring this up on a personal note. I wanted to get Stacy's and Robert's and even and Arthur's especially opinion on this. My life, I have a great life. I have a beautiful girlfriend, and I'm not going to say I haven't had hardships because that's not the case. But as of late, things have gotten really turned on its side for me in my life. My dad's really sick. We're in the process of a really big move. And the things that I usually handle really, really well, I've been struggling as of late. And it's really uncharacteristic of the type of person I am to let this stuff really bring me down the way it has. And I'm finding myself less eager to not just, you know, I'm still trying to eat the best I can, still trying to, you know, work out as hard as I can. But I'm just really feeling less of that pull to the mat lately. And I'm still getting up and doing it, but it's becoming hard lately. And I know it's because I'm going through so much, and I know this too shall pass. But I'm trying to find a way to get myself excited, to get myself back into that third gear that I want to be in. And it's been really hard the past couple months with my dad being sick. And just I wouldn't say I'm depressed, but I'm just really just not myself lately. Wondering what you guys have to say about that, if you have any advice or anything.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a little bit of depression just because, that kind of situation can be very overwhelming and, probably sad, too, I would imagine. So there's, like, heavy-duty, intense emotions going on, which could be that pull that, is pulling you away from the mat. And those are the times you just need to get there. And don't wait for when, I always tell people, don't wait for when you want to get there or when your tail's wagging, because that might not happen, or it might not happen soon enough. So, that's my best advice, is just to get there and also to be really present with whatever tough feelings you're going through and feel them, because that will help you out of this period quicker. Versus, burying it with food or something not so healthy, which is a natural response. We seek pleasure and avoid pain. But if you can stick with it and just be present with what's going on, and have some great comforting food, but make sure it's clean.
Yeah.
You won't be fighting a double battle.
Yeah, and I know I'll get through it, and I know I've been ingrained so long in this culture where I don't worry about falling off the wagon and getting away from the team. But, like I tell people, that life has ups and downs, good and bad, and I'm not going to do a Mike Mullins 2.0 or, a reboot or anything, but they're just, life has ups and downs, and I just got to navigate it the best I can. And right now it's a little bit of a lull for me in my life, so I'm just going to, try to navigate it and come out the other side as strong as ever.
Just from from a purely cognitive viewpoint, one thing to remember is that the situations that are causing you to have these feelings are not going to be permanent. I mean, obviously, no situation is permanent, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the things you can control and the effect they will have on the amount of time it takes you to get through the conditions that are causing you to feel bad. If there was a student who was having a problem, I would say, yes, we understand you're having a problem, but at the same time, you have to remember that when everything is all said and done, we don't want you to lose the year or the semester or the marking period, so you have to keep going with your other stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't care about the problem, but it means we recognize that the problem will not be permanent. No bad situation or good situation, for that matter, is permanent. So you have to keep driving on with your daily responsibilities. If you make your workout a part of your daily routine, if it becomes something that you get up in the morning and do, that's why I always tell people the best time to do it's in the morning, because that way, no matter what else happens in the day, you got your workout done. That gives you a positive start to your day. I get up at the first thing in the morning, and I could not see myself going to school without working out any more than I could see myself going to school without brushing my teeth or shaving. It's a part of my morning routine.
That helps a lot.
Honestly, there are mornings when I'm sitting here, and the first thing I really remember about that morning is the fact that I'm on the mat. It's like, I don't remember getting up and going down there and rolling it out. I'm just, suddenly there I am working out.
And that helps a lot. That really does. Which I find myself doing quite a bit, is you kind of put it off and put it off and put it off to the last minute when, you know, you can just get it done in the day and then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you knock that thing out first thing in the morning, then you know what? No matter what else you can say, hey, I got my workout in.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. And then you can add something else to it. I got my workout in, and I got myself to work, and I had a good day at work,
and I had a
reasonable breakfast, and I had an appropriate lunch, and I did, you know, and you just start adding, building one positive thing after the next positive thing after the next positive thing. You could almost make a checklist. Most of us have pretty routinized lives. I got up in the morning. I worked out. I got myself to work. I had a good first period. I had a good second period. I ate an appropriate breakfast. I ate an appropriate lunch. I had a good third period. I had a good fourth period. I had a good study hall. You know, so on and so forth. And we can build a series of successes throughout the day. And even if not everything worked perfectly, well, you know what? Look at your batting average. I mean, we say that a great baseball player hits the ball 4 times out of 10. I'm sorry, most of us can do a lot better than that in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
If we got 1 thing wrong out of 10. But you know what? Yeah, I look at my students sometimes, and they'll say, geez, I missed, you know, I got a 70% on my test. And I'll say, you know what? If you were a baseball player, you'd be the richest man on the planet. A baseball player who hits 700. So, you know, look at your average. Look at how many things you got right. Build on those positives.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Arthur and Stacey. Thank you guys for your input. We're going to get Gina on the line. Gina is with us right now. Gina, hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I just ordered the DDP yoga, and I came through it by seeing Arthur's message on Facebook. So my question is, I'm really inspired now, of course, but I'm wondering, how did all of you get through your initial fear? I'm pretty terrified because I'm really out of shape. And like I said, I'm motivated now, but how do I, you know, not go back to my old habits, which I've always, you know, fallen on? And I think the previous person that was just speaking, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, but he was talking about a lot of the challenges that he's going through right now. And, you know, how do you, you know, just, again, stop that? But I've heard everything that you guys have said, you know, you don't want to go back, but how do you even start?
Well, Gina, I would just ask you, because you have the DVD, so there's got to be a big part of you that wants this, right, that wants to change or wants better health. So, I mean, that is your foundation. I mean, is that correct? Is that a correct assumption?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so you build from that. You have a desire. You order the DVDs. You're calling in tonight. You know, you want it. It's not always going to be easy or smooth sailing, and, you know, the beginning can be challenging, but you start with that baseline desire of, geez, I want to change, I want to feel better, I want to look better, whatever it is, and then you start to acquire habits that support that. It's just little by little. I didn't make all the changes overnight, neither did Arthur, neither did Mike or Robert. But it's a gradual process, and it's a gradual healing. There's no overnight magic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gina, I got to tell you that when you look at Arthur's video and see the amazing things he can do, you just have to realize the time and effort that goes into that. When I first started, I couldn't do the beginner workout. I couldn't do a third of it. but the next day you do a little bit more, and the next day a little bit more. You really have to start out as small as possible, because you will get there. The thing about DDP yoga is, if you put the time, there is no way that this isn't going to work for you. It's not going to happen. If you put in the time and stick with it and do it, even when it's hard, even when it's not fun, it's going to stick with you. And like Arthur said, you know, just doing it every day, making it a part of your routine. You got to look at it like brushing your teeth or like, you know, putting your shoes on in the morning. It's something you do with like no brainer. And sometimes it's not going to be easy. It's not easy for me right now, but I'm still getting myself on the mat. And it's one of those things you just have to make a part of your daily life and just come to the conclusion that failure is not an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing
Thank you.
Don't be afraid of failing. Do not be afraid of failure. You know what? I was working the other day, and I was trying to I was just going into a nice, easy, you know, Black Crow, right? And all of a sudden, I was really focused, you know, just in my head, focusing, lengthening, breathing, doing all those good things. And all of a sudden, I get head-butted by a cat. And I collapse in a heap. You know, epic fail. Brilliant yogi crippled by Maine Coon cat. I mean, you may as well just walk, you know, he gave me this look. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been laughed at by a cat, but it's
not yet.
But, you know, I fail at a lot of stuff. I'm sorry, we do. If you don't fail, you're not really trying. You're not taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I hope I continue to fail, because every time I fail, I learn something. Mm-hmm. I hope we all fail at things, but that we all learn from those failures. Because failure can be a very powerful teacher. I work with special needs students. And I always tell them that failure is a teacher. Everybody says failure is not an option, and in a way that's true. But failure is a part of the human condition. Sooner or later, we're going to fail at stuff. And we may as well get used to it and deal with it. I've seen advanced placement students, the bright intellectual stars of my building. The first time they hit something they can't figure out, they're devastated. They don't know how to deal.
Mm-hmm.
But kids who have failed a lot and have learned to use failure as a tool to make a friend of failure. And I don't mean laughing at it saying, oh, I failed that one, ha, ha, ha. But saying, okay, I failed. What does it teach me? What do I learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something as simple as carry the digit. Maybe it's something really complex. But learn to use failure as a tool, because you will fail. I guarantee you, I fail at a lot of stuff. We all do. It's how we come back.
As Arthur taught us, failure isn't permanent either. You know, you can fail 100 times. You know, 101, maybe that's the time you stick at it. But the sticking with it is what changed Arthur's life. That's what changed my life. That's what changed Stacy's life. Sticking with it and not letting failure end you. You know, failure sounds so permanent, but failure of one position doesn't mean it has to be a failure tomorrow. As long as you keep getting up and trying and working hard and sticking with it, Arthur, if you gave up after 1 month, where would you be today?
Probably dead.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
That's profound. Saying that Arthur put 2 years of work on to save his life, or 5 years of work, or however long he's been doing this. He put in that work that saved his life. That's pretty profound. Mm-hmm. It's not about losing, you know, it's not about getting into a bathing suit for Arthur. It's not about getting into a pair of jeans that makes him look good. It's about saving his life, and that is the ultimate motivator right there.
So that's actually a good example right there. Arthur, you've been doing it for how long?
About 7 years now.
Yeah, and you've kept it off and kept those routines going the entire time. And Stacy, how long have you been doing it?
It's going to be, I'm coming up on my 6-year anniversary.
And
yay!
So that means, yeah, so that means that you've kept it off that for that long too.
Yeah. And you know, it's really, Arthur, you raised a great point about failure. And what I had, you know what really helped me over the hump and kept this long term is I allowed myself mistakes. I allowed myself gray area. I had to really give up the black or white thinking because it's my
Oh, that's very good.
The middle
yeah.
road. Sometimes you just have to take the middle road. Sometimes I go back to a little bit of my old ways or I have a treat or whatever. It's okay. You know, it's not like you've either succeeded or failed and that's it. It's your learning. You know, you're learning about your body and yourself and your mind. And Arthur's right. Look at it all as learning.
Thank you. What you guys have said, especially about, you know, allowing yourself to make the mistakes and, you know, allowing yourself to fail. I think I've, all my life, I've put so much pressure on myself to try and get this. And then when I didn't do it perfectly, then I just give up. And I think that that's been my problem. And I think I haven't heard from people, honestly, like you guys saying, you know, go ahead and fail. Go ahead and mess up. Give yourself some gray area. You know, I haven't heard that before. So this is really helpful.
Well, it's kind of, I kind of equate it to like when you're a kid and you're learning to walk, you fall over a lot. But
yeah.
in that mm-hmm. process of falling over, that's how you learn to walk.
Exactly.
That's exactly it.
Absolutely.
Exactly it.
Well, thank you so much, Gina, for calling.
Thank you so
watching.
Much. I'm excited. I'm waiting to get my stuff in the mail, and I'll be
right.
emailing or messaging you guys.
Right,
yes,
remember,
and join please join Team DDP Yoga. It's a great support system there.
I have joined
well,
it, so I will tell you guys on there. Yes.
All right, we'll look for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
But just
thanks
remember, it's overwhelming at first. Just stick with it one day at a time. Thank you so much.
Okay, I will. Thanks. Have a good night.
Bye.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's about it. We want to thank Arthur Borman for being on. Arthur is one of my favorite guests that we have. He's just a wealth of information. Such great, you know, what better way to learn from a guy who's been there where a lot of us are at? Dallas is one of the greatest resources we have. But, you know, Dallas has never been 400 pounds or 500 pounds or 300 pounds. And having Arthur's perspective is such a unique perspective on this show, and it's so great to have Arthur on here. He answers a lot of great questions for a lot of people who are down and out and are on their way to recovery. So, Arthur, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Glad to be able to help.
And,
thanks,
I hope
Arthur.
I hope your school season is smooth sailing, buddy.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great year.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys so much for Robert McLaren, for Stacey Morris, lovely and inspirational as always. And Robert for holding things down on the tech side and giving his input as well. My name is Mike Mullins for DDP Radio. We'll see you guys next week. And remember, own this day, own your life, and own it, my friends. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.